uncles are coming to your house. What do you do? Right? Some of you in here, you're freaking out right now. You're like, oh my gosh, there's dirty laundry on the floor. There's dirty dishes in the sink. We don't have anything in the refrigerator. Right? We freak out sometimes when we think about inviting people over to our house. Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus invited Jesus and his disciples over for this time. And Martha, being like many of us, including me, starts freaking out. She's like, oh my gosh, he's bringing all these disciples. I got to prepare food. I got to get drinks ready. Meanwhile, Mary's just kind of chilling with Jesus, right? And she gets upset. This is one of my favorite stories in the Bible because I think it exemplifies what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Disciples of Jesus sit at his feet to listen and obey. We're in the series called Quest, and it's our series leading into Easter, and we're talking about what does true discipleship look like, this quest of becoming a follower of Jesus. Last week, Pastor Jeremy preached this brilliant message. If you haven't listened to it, go back to the YouTube channel, check it out. But he talked about what it means to be a disciple and the cost of discipleship. And today we're learning this quality of what it means to be a disciple by sitting at his feet. You know what I love so much? The Chosen does such a great job, by the way, at showing the life of Jesus. Is I love that Jesus went to homes like this, not only just to teach, but he went to homes to enjoy being in community. You know, one of the things here at our church that we love and appreciate is community. And I think our church does a great job at community. And if you didn't know this, we have our small groups available on the Church Center app, just a little plug there. So if you're looking for a community to get plugged into, you can go find a group. In fact, my wife and I decided to launch a group. We had a small group in Florida at the church I was at for many years. We loved it. And just like Martha, I remember so many times where small group night came, I was like, oh my gosh, like we got to get food ready. Our house is dirty. We got to get it cleaned up. And sometimes I was distracted that when people came, it was like, like I need to enjoy being with them, enjoy their presence. You know, I think sometimes in our Christian walk, we can get so caught up in the distractions of life that we forget to slow down and sit with Jesus. The scene in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, it shows us that Martha was actually busy serving while Mary was sitting at the feet, right? One is distracted and one is devoted. As Jesus said in that video, and as he also says in the text, he says, listen, this is needed. What Martha was doing was needed, right? The house had to be ready, of course. Food had to be prepared. But one of the sisters chose the better portion. My question to us at the start of this message this morning is, have we made this decision in our life as a follower and disciple of Jesus to truly choose the better portion, even when sometimes it's like, yeah, those dishes, they're going to be in the sink. That dirty laundry, of course, is going to need to be washed. For the parents in the room, of course, the baby's going to need to be fed, right? There's things in our life that we just have to do, but oftentimes we allow those things to become the distraction that keeps us from sitting at his feet. You know, rabbinic tradition actually shows us that disciples early on in this time period would actually physically sit at the feet of their rabbi to absorb their teachings. So just as Jesus is teaching his followers in this room, this is a very common scene where Jewish rabbis would gather their followers together and they would teach them so that they could learn and glean the ways that they're being taught. The Mishnah, which is a collection of Jewish oral traditions, says this: let thy house be a meeting house for the sages, and sit amongst the dust of their feet, and drink in their words with thirst. This imagery suggests that the disciples would sit close enough to their rabbi that the dust from his feet might settle on them. Check this out. It was a sign of close proximity and devotion. I love that. That early on, rabbis would gather their disciples, they would teach their disciples, and the dust, because they wore sandals, of their feet would kind of spread out, right? This is an example of this this tradition or this knowledge being passed down to the students. And it says that these early disciples, like they, the ones that you knew were committed and they were sold out, says this, that they were committed to sitting at the feet of that rabbi. Jesus' disciples were committed to this. You know that Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus is actually breaking cultural norm, because in this time period, it wasn't normal for a woman to sit at the feet of a rabbi. Right? So she's already breaking the protocol of the day, and Jesus is allowing it. In fact, Jesus not only allows it, but he then says that this is the better portion. This is what we must choose as followers of Jesus. If you're taking notes, the title of the message today is Sitting at His Feet. Sitting at His Feet. You know, Jesus' response to Martha confirms that this is the better choice. Sitting at His feet, though serving is important. And I'm not, this message isn't about crushing serving, because obviously God's kingdom advances when we serve, when we do good works. But I'm convinced of this: good works void of intimacy lack the presence to really make an effective impact. Right? When we just go out and we're just serving and we're just doing, and we haven't had any time just to sit at His feet and to glean in His presence, number one, our tank isn't filled up, right? Our spiritual tank's not filled up. Our eyes aren't fixed on the right thing. Martha was doing a good work. I think many of us in this room, we would be the Martha, right? We of course we have to get the house ready. And I think there's some of us in this room, we would be the Mary. And we would be sitting, and Martha would probably accuse us of being the bad sister and brother, sitting at the feet. But she's choosing the better portion. The invitation to sit at Jesus' feet extends to all of us, regardless of your gender, your background, as an act of love and commitment to learning from Him, right? So it doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter how good you are. Again, look at Mary. She's already breaking cultural norms, right? So you might be in here and you might be saying, well, man, I don't feel I'm worthy enough to even sit at His feet. I would say to you, He invites you. In fact, He beckons you. As a husband beckons his wife, He beckons you to sit and to learn and to soak in His presence. So I want to go verse by verse here and kind of look at what's happening. If you have a Bible on your phone, or if you have a paper Bible, go ahead and turn with me to Luke chapter 10. It'll be on the screen as well. And this is a very short portion of Scripture, right? It's not super lengthy. It's just a story kind of mixed in all the amazing stories in Luke, but it's a powerful story and one that I think we need to fully grasp and understand if we're going to be effective disciples of Jesus. So the initial part in verse 38, this is the welcome to Jesus, right? It says, as Jesus and His disciples were on their way, He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. So Martha's actions are actually commendable, because she welcomes Him in, right? This is amazing. I don't know about you, but when I thought like about this message and just about my own life, I was thinking, man, like I would want my house to be spotless and pristine if Jesus was coming. And the Holy Spirit just kind of quietly rebuked me and said, that's not what it's about. If your house was dirty, if it was a mess, Jesus would still show up. Yeah, of course we want to honor Him. We want to make sure we make everything available and ready, and she does that, right? She opens her home. She welcomes Jesus in. I believe this, hospitality is actually really important. That's why when you go to a church, it's so important that you have someone there to welcome you and to greet you and to make you feel loved and welcomed. Hospitality is actually a gift, and there's many of you in this room that is your gift. Like, you thrive at that. It is so needed in the kingdom of God. But the story will reveal that welcoming Jesus isn't just about serving Him physically, but it's about prioritizing His presence, right? So I think Jesus is probably, like, He loves that, you know, His disciples are being fed and the home is nice, and He loves all those aspects, but He's saying to Martha, the priority here today is that you would prioritize the presence, my presence, that you would prioritize sitting and listening. The second part here, verses 39 through 40, it says, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha, check this out, was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Mary and Martha both love Jesus, but they respond to him differently. Isn't that interesting? That I find this to be true in our current state in the world, in Christianity, that there's two kinds of people. There's the ones that, like Mary, who choose devotion and she sits and listens. And Martha chooses distraction. She's busy, she's serving, and she misses the moment that the Holy Spirit wants to pour into her. I think oftentimes we can find ourselves in both spots, and it's so important that if we find ourselves in the distracted spot that we say, Holy Spirit, how can I get realigned to listen, to obey, to learn, to understand? The word distracted in the Greek actually means to be pulled away or to be drawn in many directions. I want to ask you this question, but how often are we pulled away from Jesus by the demands of life? Right? Some of you in here, you work hard jobs. There's farmers in this room. Man, of course, farm work has to get done, right? Animals have to be fed. Crops have to be planted. Some of you work major jobs and long hours, 60 plus hours a week, and it feels like I don't have any time just to sit at his feet. My challenge for you is to reevaluate and just to simply say, where can I squeeze in some time to be able to learn, to listen, and obey? You know, in the coming months, we've got this really exciting thing that we're super pumped about. It's going to be these discipleship groups of 3 to 4 people, and they're going to be reading the word together. They're going to be praying together, sharing life with one another, and growing as disciples. Just as we learn from rabbinic tradition, disciples learn from their rabbi. They don't just come to church and hear messages. They get in groups with people, and they learn from each other. They grow together. Finally, in verses 41 and 42, it says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. I want you to highlight this last part. Or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So Jesus just makes it clear that all the distractions, all the things to be worried about and concerned about are not in comparison to the one thing. What is the one thing? The one thing is prioritizing him. It's prioritizing his presence. It's saying, Jesus, I know I'm busy. Right? We make this statement a lot. I make it a lot. I'm busy. I just feel busy. And in a culture of hurry and rush, we oftentimes miss the moments where Jesus is beckoning us to come and sit, to come and learn, right? We might not have Jesus physically here where we can get dust from his feet and learn from him, but we have this. This is the inspired word of God. It is a treasure, right? So if you ever are wondering, what does God sound like? Open your Bible. He has some things to say to you. He has ways of showing you scripture that maybe you've read 100 times, but it's that 100th time when you read it where the Holy Spirit highlights something to you that you can apply to your life that week. If you're taking notes, write this down. My one and only point is this. True disciples prioritize sitting at Jesus' feet over distractions of life. True disciples prioritize sitting at Jesus' feet over distractions of life. So for our last few moments together, I want to look at how do we sit at his feet. Number one is this, that we must prioritize time with Jesus over distractions. We must. It is, I think, key to our walk with him. And if you're wondering, man, I just don't feel like I'm ever full and I just don't really get this church thing, it's probably because you've prioritized the wrong thing. Right? It's probably because you're not spending enough time just sitting and soaking in his presence. Life is full of responsibilities, but we must choose to make time for Jesus. Right? It's an active choice. I tell our students all the time, I say, hey, if spending time with Jesus feels like a stretch, like if maybe 30 minutes feels too long, spend 5 minutes. Heck, spend a minute. sitting with him and listening, quiet in your heart, right? Again, we live in a busy world that oftentimes we don't like silence. Silence is awkward, it's uncomfortable, but sometimes silence is what our soul needs for Jesus to come in and to speak life into us and to show us, hey, these are some areas that need a re-evaluation. Just as Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet, we must intentionally prioritize prayer, worship, and scripture. For some of you in this room, reading the Bible just comes natural. Like, you love the Bible. You can open it up and you can exegetical read it. I mean, you can go all through it. For some of you, prayer. You just love prayer. I love that our church, man, has such a focus on prayer and raising up intercessors. I think prayer is the furnace for a church and really for our life. And there's some of you, you just love worship. You love basking in worship as it's happening, whether it's a hymn, a contemporary, like, you just love being in worship. But I do think all three of those things are needed. I think we must learn. If we're uncomfortable with prayer, we have to learn how to pray, right? Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. And so prayer is not just this religious language. It's actually a relationship with him where we can engage in conversation, right? We can engage with a person who wants to speak into us. Here's my challenge for us this week, is that we would set aside some daily time to read and to pray. Right, whatever that looks like for you. I don't know your life and how busy it is. I'm sure, like, if it's like mine, it's busy and it's chaotic, and sometimes it feels like I just can't get in enough time in the day. But what if you chose to say, hey, this 10 minutes of my day is sacred. I'm setting it aside to, again, we don't have Jesus in front of us to sit, so we're sitting before this. And we're saying, Jesus, I want to sit. I want to read your word. I want to understand it. I want to grow. Disciples grow. Listen, for the rest of your days on this planet, you will be in a growth spurt when it comes to discipleship. You're not going to hit this point where you're like, yep, matured. I'm there. I'm practically touching heaven, right? Like, you will always be in this place of growing as a disciple. Disciples grow. Disciples learn. Number two. Is we must learn from Jesus through his word. Right? So sitting at his feet means being a disciple, one who listens and learns. The question I have for you is, if we open this up this week, it's more of just not just reading this and kind of getting through. Like, oftentimes if I'm in a Bible reading plan, there's some of those books in the Old Testament, right? Like Ecclesiastes, where it's just like, I need to get through this. This is painful, right? And I just want to, like, rush through it. And oftentimes we rush through God's word just trying to check it off our list rather than saying, God, out of those 50 verses I read today, what is something you want to teach me? What is something I can apply to my life? Is there one verse, or is there actually a kind of a cluster of verses where, yeah, that speaks to what's happening in my life? And can I just say this? Not every time we open this should this be some large epiphany moment. Some days it's just like, yeah, I open the Bible and Jesus says I need to love people better. Awesome. But maybe it's a time where you open it and he starts really speaking to you. And that epiphany moment happens where it just, like, unlocks something in you, where you start learning and you start growing and you start maturing as a disciple. Mary listened to Jesus's teaching, and we can actually do the same through scripture. John Mark Comer, in his book, Practicing the Way, I love John Mark Comer, all of his stuff is just fantastic, but he says it best. He says, what you give your attention to is the person you become. What you give your attention to is the person you become. So again, let's take Mary and Martha. Martha chooses distractions. She's choosing all this stuff. She chose to sit, to listen, and to devote her time to being with Jesus. What we give our attention to is the person we become. So if you're like, man, I've tried this church thing, it's just not working, I don't see anything happening, I would question you and just say, what are you giving your attention to outside of this building? It is easy to show up on a Sunday morning and to lift our hands and to worship and to listen to a message, but it's very difficult to leave this place and to apply it and to walk in it. And to say, Jesus, I need you this week. There's some coworkers who really get on my nerves. I need you this week. Man, I know I'm going to be exhausted from this newborn baby. I need you this week. Right? There's going to be responsibilities. All of us, when we leave here today, have some kind of responsibility. My question to you again is, what are we giving our attention to? It's the person we become. As you meditate on Scripture this week, I think a question, this is a question I ask myself often when I'm reading God's Word, is what is Jesus teaching me through His Word today? So I'll just simply, as I'm reading, even before I read, I'll just say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to teach me today? Mm-hmm. What is something you want to unlock in me today? Have I learned to love well? Do I need to love better? Have I learned to pray? Show me today what you want to speak to me. Lastly, number three. So I think this, we have to serve from a place of presence, not pressure. We got to serve from a place of presence, not pressure. You know, Martha's service wasn't wrong, but it became a distraction. And so when we spend time with Jesus first, our service actually then flows from a place of intimacy rather than stress. I want to say that again. When we serve from a place of intimacy and being with Jesus, it actually comes from this place of intimacy rather than stress. Some of us, when we feel like maybe you're serving somewhere here in this local body, or you've been out in the mission field and you're like, oh man, I'm so stressed out, like I got to get this done, or I had a busy week, I just don't feel like serving today. Oftentimes we enter into service with God under stressful circumstances rather than this place of overflow. And it's in the overflow that others experience a taste of heaven. They experience the kingdom of God. Listen, you could spend as much time as you want serving and doing, and I think, oh, again, those things are needed, but without sitting in His presence, people don't get to taste heaven. I believe this. Believers of Jesus should smell, should taste the aroma. Paul says this, the aroma of God should be all over our life. That others, when we serve and we pour out, could say, wow, that guy or gal has been with Jesus. They look like Jesus. They speak like Jesus. They do like Jesus. As I was preparing this message, I was convicted in my own life, realizing there's parts of my life where I feel very tightly knit to Jesus, but there's other parts where I know He wants to grow me more. And I believe in this congregation, He wants, what if Mount Joy Mennonite was known as a place of deep devotion and intimacy to Jesus? You know, back in the 1700s, there was a group of people in Germany called the Moravians. The Moravians were this small group of disciples of Jesus that they started this prayer movement that actually would go out and reach all parts of the world. They sent hundreds of disciples all over the world. But they had this 24/7 kind of prayer model where their followers in this village would come and they would just spend time in the presence. And the Moravians were actually known, the terminology was called the people of linger, because they would linger in the presence of God. Would that be true for us? That when people look at our church, they say, wow, those people know how to linger in God's presence. Those people know how to sit and obey what Jesus is teaching them. They know how to live it out. That Mount Joy Mennonite, the Lakes community all around us, would be so impacted by the intimacy that flows out of your life. Oh, that we'd be a church that sits at His feet. Question I want you to ask yourself before you serve, ever, is this. Have I spent time with Jesus first? Before you ever serve, have I spent time with Jesus first? Have I spent time reading His Word and learning from Him? becoming a mature follower of Jesus. You know, Martha, what's really profound about this story is that she is gently rebuked. Again, I want you to notice that Jesus corrects her, right? He doesn't scold her and say, Martha, you're just dumb for doing what you did. He respects what she's doing, but he says there's a better way. And I love that Martha, instead of getting a hardened heart and getting upset with Jesus, she actually learns from this. And the Bible tells us that when their brother Lazarus dies, Martha is the first to encounter Jesus, not Mary. Martha actually goes on to say, hey, Jesus, I wish you could have been there because my brother wouldn't have died, but check this out. I believe that even now you can raise him. The same lady who was caught up in distractions and missed the one thing. The Bible actually tells us in John, in this story, that Mary is at home while Martha is with Jesus. Sometimes there's going to be flip-flops in those roles. Right? Martha, in this John story, chooses the better portion. She chooses to be with Jesus. My question for us today is there a yearning, kind of an ache in your heart just to be with him? To be in his presence, to soak in what we're getting from him? Martha's mistake was not her service, but rather her distraction, and Mary shows us the better way of sitting at Jesus' feet, listening, learning, and growing. Right? She listened, she learned, and she grew. That's what a disciple does. They listen, they learn. Yeah, there's some conviction that happens through the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's some things that we have to lay down, but we grow and we become better. Here's some questions I want you to ask yourself this week. So what distractions are keeping you from Jesus? How can you prioritize sitting at his feet this week? What are some things that need to change in your schedule? And lastly, will you choose the one thing that truly matters? And today, we've kind of ended service this way the last couple weeks, but I want to invite our prayer team down, and they're just going to kind of be all across the front. So prayer team, if you're here, go ahead and make your way down front. And in a few moments, the worship team is going to lead us back into a song. And if you're here today, I just want to challenge you to maybe respond to the call of God, whether it's meeting with one of these prayer partners, or if it's coming down here to sit or kneel, whatever. But choose today to say, Jesus, yeah, there's some areas in my life where I think I can grow. I think I can learn. Jesus, I realize that there's some priorities that have been mixed up. So I want to encourage you, if you want prayer or just want to be with Jesus, come to the front. Can everyone stand with me?